Hey everybody, welcome to the Phase 8 review. If you don't know what this is going to be the main show that talks about all things Turf Wars, just so we can put out a little more content every week. I'm your host, Cyarkos, along with my co-host.
I like stepping on your toes. It's fun.
And I'm Queenie. Laughing.
And as everything. And as I said, we're going to be reviewing Phase 8 this week. We were going to talk about Phase 7, but things came up. All you need to know is Phase 7 got delayed. It was awesome. It wasn't awesome, but it was...
Phase 7 was the phase that never happened, but eventually did. And lots of things happened in Phase 7.
Yeah. Phase 7 is like our Episode 5.
We do not talk about Episode 5.
It's not even out yet.
So it's on Wednesday. It's Sunday when we're recording this.
So what's everyone been up to?
Waiting for Cyarkos to finish editing episode 5?
What have I been up to? I did Christmas shopping, which was fun. I'm almost done. Although it's one of those things where every time I think I'm almost done, I find like two more people that I have to buy gifts for and feel like throwing myself off a cliff. Just because it's one of those things where when you have a group of friends that exceeds like 6 or 7 people, you don't really have to worry about Christmas gifts unless you're close to like 1 or 2 of them. But if you live in a house with about like 4 people and you're friends with all of them, then they all have to get Christmas gifts or else one of them is left out. So it's one of those things where, there's a lot of gifts to be bought, and I'm just sitting here like, blah. Especially since then I have to buy gifts for my family and some gifts for like work people, and it's a mess. My dad suggested next year we do a Secret Santa, and I'm thinking about like taking him up on that because that'd be fun, I think.
And that's why I live alone. Moonshine's not picky when it comes to gift giving. She likes a bowl of milk in the morning and a bowl of milk in the evening. And for me to leave her the hell alone.
And it's a moonshine waifu pillow.
Shh, you don't understand our love.
Oh, and I restarted Auras, too, which is fun. Don't worry, Dozer, your Pokemon are safe. They're in my X file. So.
Okay, thank you.
Don't even worry about it.
What about the items I gave you?
They're fine. They're also an X.
Oh, you traded them over. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you gave me my
I never. Twist. You never
she
traded.
The Skitty.
You never traded anything into Auras. You just traded into X.
Which oh, is that's where I keep right. All my stuff. That's where they're so, all. They're all in X.
Everything in Auras. I did like double checking and triple checking, and so yeah. All my Pokemon that I traded to Auras are okay, and all your items are in X, so I didn't even have to worry about them.
I still have all 6 of the Feebas you gave me.
Nice.
So, to clarify, I reset my Auras game so I could do a Jigglebutt Nuzlocke. I still call it Jigglebutt Nuzlocke, even though I think the more PC term is the Sneaklocke, where you only catch the first Pokemon that stakes its butt up at you and shakes it on a route that you could catch with like the Dexnav sneaking. It has to be the first one that sticks its butt out, otherwise you can cheat and just only get the one you want. Mm-hmm. And I got a shiny.
You
have
did?
A shiny yeah, I got to initiate shiny claws in this thing. I got a shiny Zigzagoon and I named it Onion. But I already have a Zigzagoon named Fries though, and yes, that is an on purpose Maryland reference. And I'm naming everything after food because my starter I decided to name my Torchic McNugget. Which is the best Torchic name ever.
I'm doing all of mine after Fire Emblem Awakening characters, and it's really fun. I'm Robin, of course, because I'm MC, like I'm MU, or is that what it's called? Yeah, MU, my unit.
Okay.
And all the other ones are being named after certain characters, and it's fun.
What really have you great. Been up to, Cyarkos? Explain why episode 5 is late.
I've been swamped with work and then other stuff.
Blame McDicks.
I will blame them. Directly. Fuck McDonald's.
I advise against it. You might get a disease.
Yeah, you get heart disease.
Or death.
Or death.
Ooh, don't tempt me.
Or diabetes.
Okay. Would you get diabetes from fake meat and grease?
Yeah, do you know how much sugar? Like, you've got, like, sugar in all of their food. much more than you would expect.
See, you know, when the nutrition people came to my school and showed off all that stuff, I ignored it, which I think is why I became a fat man.
And then all the Cokes and stuff, and whenever you're there, they're like, do you want to supersize that? And they're paid to ask you that. Like, if they forget, there's consequences.
Not really.
Well, they're all not paid
to... all it is like, you should suggest to upsell because you make more money. You'll make the store more money. Why should I do that? Okay. You'll make the store more money. You really don't get any more money for upcharging stuff.
And okay.
I rarely get asked if I want to supersize. But then again, I think they do it because just automatically, because I'm a fat man. And they're just like, supersize, right? I'm like, no, and they look at me like I'm Satan. Did you just say no?
You said no to supersize? Too far, right?
You know, it's like only an extra nickel.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been swamped. So let's get to the meat of this episode.
Let's get down to business.
The 100% USDA not graded meat.
Yes. Otherwise known as Phase 8.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to Phase 8, we're gonna do a quick recap of Phase 7.
Because Thanksgiving happened.
Thanksgiving happened. Showdown got nuked.
Lizard Squad happened.
Lizard Squad happened. And lots of battles involving Arcadia and Magma, not directly fighting each other, but just in general, happened. Because I see red and blue all over this thing.
Yeah.
Though it probably doesn't help that them colorblind, the Snagum colors and the Arcadia colors look the exact same. Really does not help.
No.
No.
Actually, since we're talking about that, did anybody ever figure out who did the attack, or...
To the attack for what?
The DDoS attack.
I don't know.
Oh, on Showdown?
See, I'm just blaming Lizard Squad because they are the worst group of fake hackers out there. But
oh, that's a real thing? I thought you were making something up. The name was so stupid, I didn't take it seriously.
They're dumbasses. They're
obviously, they're called Lizard Squad.
What has happened was like recently like the Xbox servers went down because of like
these assholes.
Yeah.
Wait, am I allowed to say that on the show? Yeah. Assholes?
Yeah.
Okay, just check.
basically, they take credit for system problems that were going to happen anyway. And, like, they announce an attack. They're like, we're going to attack Xbox Live on Christmas Day. Get ready, everybody. No shit, wow. Xbox Live is going to be down on Christmas Day. I mean, everyone's going to be getting new systems.
At least they weren't like Nintendo, who accidentally planned their own attack by screwing themselves over with Pokemon.
Yeah, that too.
That was glorious.
Like, we'll release this thing. Oh, everything's down. All right.
Sorry Pokemon about that. Did it. Freeze on the stand.
They totally underestimated the power of nerddom.
And the Pokemon fandom, I think.
But let's face it, if you ever say you're part of the Pokemon fandom, or you ever say you're really into Pokemon, that you're to the point where you're going to go and get Pokebank, whether it's for the Celebi or just to store a bunch of Pokemon, people are going to think you're a super nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I have Pokebank, excuse you.
I do too.
Right?
Are you not a nerd?
I know I am a nerd, but I'm just saying.
You're proving my point, woman.
Well, I mean, like, I don't use it like everybody else uses it to collect, like, all of them, I assume. I just use it to, like, store Pokemon for when I restart, and then...
I use it to transfer up Pokemon from my old versions.
Yeah.
To keep, like, my favorites from, like, all my Nuzlocke runs and stuff like that. Yeah. Not so I can have everything. Good lord, if I did it so I could have everything, I'd have a National Dex, and I would have had a Shiny Charm in X and Y.
Yeah.
You know, I'd complete and all that stuff. But, I also, because I found out you get battle points from it, based on how many Pokemon you have, which just made me breed a bunch of stuff, wonder trade it, and keep everything.
Yeah.
Which I'm starting to realize is a bad idea, because I think I've got 30 boxes full of just random level ones and junk from wonder trade.
Wonder 20 trade. Battle points a day now, so...
It is glorious.
Yeah, because I transferred all my stuff over for a day. I was like, oh, cool, you get battle points for stuff. I'm just gonna let these guys sit in here for a couple moments.
The trick to easy battle points. The trick to easy battle points is not to actually battle in Battle Mansion. It's just to like let Pokemon sit in Pokebank and show up every once in a while and grab your battle points.
She's completely right.
If you don't find the Battle Maison, you can't fight the Heart Patient Kid. So.
Anyway, I think we've gotten off track, yes. But that's nothing new for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, turn 7. Lots of things happened. The end.
Like the end.
Yeah.
Lots of things happened. There was lots of crashes.
Well, let me think. We had
the first trade.
Yeah, well, it was a bit sketchy because, we thought that trade was a rule that was added to the rule book, and I think I read it even. But somewhere it was never put in there, it was put in there by mistake because it wasn't in there.
Or it was just a discussion that happened that was really prominent, and people were like, okay, we've discussed this and said yes, but then it wasn't put in or. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened, it just was not in the rule book, and it was not decided to be put into the rule book.
It was discussed enough that apparently the leaders of both Magma and Arcadia thought it was legitimate, so they decided to trade Goldenrod City for
Humalau.
Humalau, there we go. But we were told that we couldn't trade, so instead we're just kind of like, okay, Arcadia forfeits in Goldenrod, Magma forfeits in Humalau. Which making the technically first loss of an Arcadia was that the first loss of an Arcadia territory? Or am I mistaken?
I believe.
Yes, but also no, because it was like a choice to lose. It wasn't.
Yeah, but it was still the first time.
It was the first loss. Because also Arcadia lost to Snag'em in the same
phase. Yeah. Regardless, but. I just found it amusing that the first time Arcadia lost a territory. "Quote unquote," was through a forfeit because that's what they had to do because the trade rule wasn't in the book. But then they added the trade rule to the book because they realized there was this really cheaty workaround that they couldn't argue against. So why not just make it an official rule?
Yeah,
Doesn't really change anything. It's not that big of a deal. If anything, I think it adds more depth to the game because it adds a bit of a political side. Because it's like, okay, we can trade you this territory for your territory right there. Because neither of us need either of these territories.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're suddenly best friends by trading territories.
No, because it's a give and take, so it's not a favor to anyone.
No.
Yeah.
It's we want this, but we don't want to have to battle you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in Arcadia, at least, the discussion, a lot of it was, we saw that Magma was having a lot of battles, which has been we talked about that back on, what was it, episode 3, when we had Maxi over.
Yeah.
God,
they're
Magma
just getting hammered.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like, we wanted that territory, but we didn't want to add to an already overloaded plate.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Phase 7's like roster of battles, Magma had a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not including the potential battle that we turned into a trade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you count that, it's 7, but that doesn't really count. But out of those, they actually won all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did win all of them, which up before then, Magma was... Oh, they were still doing good in turn 6 and turn 5, if I scroll up. But turn 4 is when they had a pretty hard hit.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been fighting a lot, and they actually have the highest number of battles total. Because when I was going to and doing the analysis on turn 8... I noticed that they were the first team to get over 100 battles.
Oh, wow. That's good, though. Like,
it's
not, it must be really, really intense to be doing that many battles, but the more battles you do, the more experience you get. So Magma is a team that now has a lot of experience and is not afraid to use that experience to its advantage.
Yep. Though another team that's been having a lot of battles, they have the second total, and that's Solar Trinity.
With a solid 100 as of
this recording. As of the end of turn 8, which is really on the dot, and I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. However, unlike Magma, they haven't had as much luck in their victory as, I think, what is it, the standing joke now, ST hacks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see that statement in a lot of battles, and I watch.
Oh. Well, is there really anything else to talk about? Snag'em.
First highway battle, turn 7, is the big thing. Snag'em invaded Oblivia for attacking Tilt Village, making this the first highway battle of the season. And Arcadia lost. Snag'em winning Tilt Village to be the second team to make it into Oblivia. And winning the first highway battle of the season in the leader battle. Which, the thing is, with any highway battle, if one team each wins a battle. Like, a Grunt wins battle. Grunt A wins in the of one team, and then Grunt B wins of team 2. No matter how things go, it's going to be decided by a leader battle, because the only way a highway battle is not decided by a leader battle is if it's a 4-0 Grunt sweep.
Yeah.
Because that leader battle is 3 points, so... And you need a minimum of 4 to win.
Yeah. Leader battles were important, man.
But it was a close battle because it came out 4-3 in Snag'em's favor, so.
Yeah. Very close.
Well, still props to them for winning the first highway battle. Other than that, not a lot of noticeable thing happened in turn 7. Just a lot of battles with everyone. It's a cluster of colors in turn 7, if you look at the battle tracker.
Yeah.
But as we were talking about the highway battle, there was the first one in turn 7, and the second one happened in turn 8. with the Dim Sun attacking Arcadia. I mean, like here, because, and the Grunt battles looked like they went 2-2. With Dim Sun and Arcadia, so it looked really close until we got to the leader battle, and Zach, you watched that replay, right?
Oh yeah, I did. The
this rest talk Slowbro from Blake.
Yeah. So that the one thing that I liked about turn 8, and it's probably gonna be one of the things I remember most, is this is the big turnaround this season where we have a bunch of new stuff coming into the meta that's gonna completely change the way it was played. And that leader battle,
because of trades, was, too.
Yeah. That leader battle showed off exactly what this, like, I kind of want to think of it as, like, the second half of Turf War Season 2, is now we're going to see a big change in how battles are done. I mean, you look at this battle, who was the leader for Dim Sun who was fighting? Was it, it was Blake. Hall. Yeah, it was Blake. He was going against Panda. He set that Slowbro up with incredible defenses, and it's honestly Slowbro is going to be a big player in the leader battles. Really, all these new megas are going to add a whole new
so it was a Mega Bro game. Then
yeah, it was Mega Bro.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
He maxed out and then just crushed everything. Sorry,
and
Panda.
The thing is first off, Panda's team had nothing to deal with it. Though he was sporting a really impressive set on his Smurgle. It was a, what was it? Shell Smash Baton Pass?
Yeah.
I love that. Very,
very reminiscent of the whole reason why Smurgle was being brought up to the BL tier was because of the whole Geosenge Power Herb combo.
Geomancy Power
Herb. Or Geosenge, yes.
It used a town as a
It used
move.
A town against everyone.
Smurgle's new movesets now include towns.
Speaking of Geosenge, that was another Dim Sun Arcadia battle.
This one, not so much looking good for the Dim Sun, as Arcadia takes it with a 4-0 Grunt sweep.
Yeah.
So, just showing that it's... I think that shows that it's really close between Dim Sun and Arcadia, who are both the first and second teams. Arcadian first, Dim Sun in second, and Dim Sun becoming the third team to step foot in Oblivia, meaning that Oblivia has really high potential to become the cluster that it was in Season 1.
Yeah, it's gonna be quite the mess. Maybe not this next phase, but more than likely phase 10 when people really start pushing in and heading for the center to try and cross over into different regions using Oblivia. It's going to be a big mess.
Bloodbath.
And
yeah.
Ugh.
It's going to be some insanity and going
people
on.
People better bring their mops because...
It's going to be glorious, though, because
it's gonna be horrible.
So I like that now every highway battle is a mandatory leader battle. Was it that way in season one? I don't remember.
It was in season one, but it was a rule that was implemented about, like, halfway through. It wasn't an original rule. But it became a rule after a small bit of time.
Because there were not many leader battles.
Yes.
That took place. Because, and the really notable thing that I see is that highway battles now are... There's no admin battle, it's just the mandatory leader battle. Which, like I said before, means if each team wins one battle in the grunt levels, it's decided by leaders.
Always.
But, of course, you still want to fight all of those battles, otherwise... That's really... It's more fun.
Yeah.
Though I can see it. In later phases, when one team is really swamped, being like, can we just move to the leader battle already?
Yeah. Oh my god, though, I'm just...
Which...
I know this is trash-talking your own team, but I'm so glad that, like, Mega Slowbro is slowly becoming something that people are taking slightly more seriously, because
Queenie,
I remember when
Queenie,
it was introduced.
You're forgetting something.
Yes.
Arcadia also has access to Mega Slowbro.
Yeah.
No, I know, but we lost to it. So, like, we're the ones...
We lost to it, yeah.
We're the ones who lost to it. So I'm just really excited to see people are taking Mega Slowbro a little bit more seriously. Because I was excited for it, and everybody was a little hesitant. I was like, no, y'all just wait. Y'all just wait.
I think anyone who knew how much of a tank Slowbro was before Mega... And looking at its stats and ability post-Mega, yeah, sure, it loses Regenerator, but what does it get? Shell Armor?
It gets Shell Armor, so you always know how much damage it's going to be taking, which is why that rest is going to be the... Like, that rest talk took full advantage of the new Mega Slowbro. You knew how much it was going to be taking, you knew that it was going to be able to tank it, and that's one reason why it showed off the new Megas, and that's something I'm really going to enjoy seeing in the next few phases.
Yeah, and not to mention, I think one of Slowbro's biggest downfalls before was the damage it took from knockoff.
Yeah.
Even though it was standard physically defensive, knockoff did a lot and then lost its item. Now as a Mega, since knockoff can't take out the item, it's not doing nearly as much damage.
Yeah.
So,
but
Mega
I just
Slowbro
I knew
is a beast.
I knew that losing Regenerator, I knew when it lost Regenerator, everything was going to be okay. And I told y'all, and it was.
It still even has, Rest Talk is amazing because it gets rid of the status. That's the only reason I can see using it over just the standard Slack Off. Because I never saw a hit on that Slowbro do more than 30, 40%. I think everything was a 3-hit KO at max. And that's including the +2 boost from the Baton Pass Shell Smash, so...
Yeah.
Ouchies.
No hacks. No hacks in this match, guys. You just gotta overpower it.
Because of Shell Armor.
Shell Armor.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, is that it's the one... It's, like, the unhacksable Mega, unless...
Though, I will say one thing that Mega Slowbro does have an issue with, especially the Sleep talk set. One... its only move, because it was rest talk, Calm Mind, and Psy Shock, it can't hit anything dark.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, but most things, unless your name is Mega, like, you know, Rayquaquay, most things have suitable counters for them.
If
you dig deep enough, or if you look hard enough, you can find where something has a failing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's not overpowered. It's relatively balanced. It's a good physical wall. It's a good set with that. But another issue that it has is phasing hurts it really hard.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure with how I saw how little damage it was taking, that it was pretty much fully invested, probably in the physical defense and the HP.
Yeah.
Boost, relying on the Calm Mind to cover its special defensive side, so it really wouldn't hit as hard.
No, it's fair enough.
Without the Calm Mind, so... Phasing can hurt it a bit, but it's still a monster to deal with. And what was the mega the panda was using that battle? I think it was Mega Pidgeot.
It was either Pidgeot or Charizard, because those are usually his go-tos that he goes to. So
I think it's hilarious that he's using Mega Pidgeot in the leader battles and admin battles.
Yeah.
Because it's RU now, which, granted, that makes it pretty better than it was, because it used to be NU, but I still don't view that as Panda can kill me later. I still don't view that as a really strong mega option, especially in the admin and leader tiers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that hurricane hits hard, so who am I to judge?
Yeah.
I'm also the person who made a for-fun leader team just to test random things, and I put on a Heliolisk, so I don't think I have much room to speak.
Yeah.
I think we all have our weaknesses, where there are Pokemon, obviously, that even though they're terrible, we want to use them.
Hey, Heliolisk is not terrible.
No, we can confirm after...
No, I wasn't talking about Heliolisk. I was just talking about in general.
Dozer, I think she's talking smack on Mega Audino. I think she's talking smack
on... No.
Mega Audino, I've seen it more than I thought it was going to in Turn 8. Wasn't it like almost on half of the Arcadia Grunt teams?
I used it.
More than you used it.
I used it at least.
The Megas I've been seeing, I've only really seen from any Arcadia Grunts who have used Megas, I've only seen Audino and...
Pidgeot.
There we go, that's the bird. You can see I don't remember it too well. Even I have a team with Mega Pidgeot on it because it's just... It's good. It's really good in the Gruntiers, and it's an amazing RU Mega. Something that I think is becoming more common are Megas in the RU tier.
Yeah, such as our great friend Mega Sharpedo.
Oh gosh,
is becoming a very hot item in this phase.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised.
Did not get to go through all the grunt battles for the teams that had access to it. Because what is it? It's Dim Sun that has access to it.
And Solar Trinity.
That does.
Yeah, because Dimsung has the double type with water and dark. So
it's only two teams. But it has been seen in a notable amount of battles. And I know because the STC, the Suspect Testing Council for Turf Wars, came out and said they made some changes to tiering for our own metagame.
Mm-hmm.
And they did say they were keeping their eyes on Mega Sharpedo, but they had no intentions of banning it up to UU or higher just yet.
I'm not surprised, though, because a Pokemon able to protect on first turn, gain a speed boost, and then gain a lot of attacking. Yeah.
With strong jaws, that's a hard-hitting crunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not undefeatable, because there are faster Pokemon. It just is hard to
outspeed. Scarfeeliolisk.
It's just hard to outspeed once it gets there.
The thing is, most good Scarfmon will be able to outspeed it as long as you don't switch on the Protect.
Because
if you switch on the Protect's going to fail. They're probably just going to Protect again and get a times 2 speed, and then really only Unburdened Pokemon would be able to outspeed it. So, yeah. That and Priority.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Mega Shark is it's frail.
It's very frail.
Yeah.
It's like the one defeatable point about it is that it's frail. Imagine if it was bulky.
That and there's a surprising amount of Pokemon that can actually take hits from it fairly well.
Yeah.
But it does have an issue also of, what is it, 4-slot syndrome, because it has to run Protect pretty much. It doesn't get its really great coverage because it gets things like Zen Headbutt, Crunch, and Waterfall are, you know, standards on it. But then you're stuck between Zen Headbutt, Earthquake, Ice Fang,
Poison Fang, if you really want like, it. Which Destiny fang, Bond.
Which Fang do you want to go with?
Mm-hmm. Ice Fang, I think, is generally the best option to go.
I can see them using Poison Fang if they know they're going up against fairies or if they're going up against grass types. Ice Fang would work for that.
Ice Fang would work on grass types. And it gets poison jab, so I don't see why they'd go for
the 50% chance of toxic.
Toxic. I'd rather just run toxic and have a 90% chance of toxic. You who keep talking about poison fang on Mega Sharpedo.
Plus strong jaw.
Yeah.
Plus strong jaw.
Plus strong jaw.
Strong jaw. Strong jaw. That's my noise for Mega Sharpedo now. Vron Sharpedo. Vron.
So it's like a Bond villain?
Exactly.
One of the sharks from like one of the first movies became like self-aware. And...
I'm Mega Sharpedo. Vron.
It's good
Mega
to Sharpedo. See you, Mr. Birch. You've fallen right into my trap. Protect!
If Pokemon cards were Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Oh, gosh.
But speaking of a team that has access to the Mega Sharpedo, let's talk about Solar Trinity.
Solar Trinity. I think Solar Trinity is kind of becoming one of my favorite teams.
Yeah, they're fun to fight, so.
They're fun to fight. Not just that. They're just tenacious little devils.
Mm-hmm.
And they got really excited because they finally scored a win over Arcadia in Pacific Log Town.
Mm-hmm.
Which they won quite handily, taking it 4-1.
They're a team that never says die, and I think that's good because when you're in that position, you have to continuously fight back and never give up. And they haven't, and they're finally, you know, it's finally coming to fruition that maybe that never say die attitude is getting some wins and getting them the position to push back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think one reason why I like them so much is their never say die, I'm going to keep fighting you even though you're beating me mentality really reminds me of the glory days of Rocket.
Aww.
Back in season 1. So I get some season 1 nostalgia from their attitude. That, and they are a lot of fun to fight. They're the only battles I've really partaken in. They actually are the only battles I've partaken in this season. Because I battled for, Aspersia and Pacific Log. Pacific Log. Pacific Log. I always think it's
Pacific Log.
It's spelled with a D, isn't it?
Oh, I don't.
It is in the battle tracker, which is what's throwing me off.
No, it's definitely with a D. It's just the way that, like, Pacific Log. It doesn't roll off the
Pacific
tongue.
Pacific Log.
It's Pacific Log.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue very English.
It like, doesn't.
It's bad.
It's a C English. Connected to another L. It's not a D. What are you doing? You're confused.
Isn't it looks like a D in the battles tracker.
But if we're going to talk about the ST admin battle, that kill on that Conkeldurr that R. Henry did was freaking diabolical.
Oh,
with the 4% left on the Conkeldurr, switching in Tyranitar to get up the Sandstorm, and then switching it out just so that the Volcarona could take the Mach Punch, was absolutely beautiful.
It was. Was that in the admin battle? I thought that was in the leader battle.
Wait. Oh yeah, that was the leader battle. Whoops.
That was the Aspersia leader battle. Still a beautiful play.
No, that was the. Oh yeah, it was.
Because. Yeah. We make sure to watch the leader battles because there's no way that we can watch all of these battles, record our regular episodes, do our regular lives and have lives if we have to watch every single one of these battle replays because there's a mm-hmm. lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all fight a lot, but good for you because that's how it should be.
It's war, dang it.
Good job on fighting.
No, I didn't. The only win that I saw in the Pacific Log battle for Solar Trinity was my battle because I lost against Bandit. So,
well, that's because you weren't, you didn't pack phasing.
No, he had a team of mostly setup sweepers, which I really enjoyed the team. That was a fun looking team. If I had done a bit of research beforehand, I would have known that he used it against Mito literally a little bit prior. Also, that wasn't one of my better teams because I didn't want to use the same team.
Oh, yeah. Just blame it on your team, Dozer. Or Dozer.
That, and I totally was caught off guard by Calmine Cofagrigus, which ripped through my team pretty hard.
Oh, you mean Spear Tomb? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spear Tomb. Calm Mind Spirit Tomb. I get the ghosts mixed up. Stupid ghosties.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
But no.
I'm not going to make an anti-ghost Pokemon that's going to be really weird and unique, and I'm going to name it Ghostbuster.
No, do you just name it like,
Ghostbuster.
Name it Scrooged.
Scrooged.
But no, one thing I saw a lot this phase is Solar Trinity
mixing up their teams, yeah. First off.
Mixing up their teams.
Like, a lot. Because I think this is the most orange... It is orange, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. This is the most orange I've seen in the Battle Tracker for a long time. They won two locations in the same turn, which is great, and they won a lot of battles, upping their battle percentage, and now they're only one victory point behind fourth place, so it's not like they're far behind in last. Actually, the last three are really close
together. This is Solar Trinity Strikes Back. Like, the comeback starts now.
This is the revenge. These last two phases have been the comeback phase for a lot of teams, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Arcadia suffering their first losses of the season. About damn time. Seriously, I was waiting for that since turn one. So, yeah, we're winning. I'm like, this is not going to last, guys. We're going to keep winning. No, you're not.
Well, I mean, it never lasts, though. And I just, like, I think that kind of, like, idea of that, it's fun to have that kind of morale. And obviously, once it ends, it ends. But it's what you do after it ends that really defines who you are and what you are, how you work, and how you survive as a team.
And from what I heard, it was complain about Mega Sharpedo! I'm just kidding. But not really. There were actually quite a few complaining about Mega Sharpedo. So I'm just kind of like, guys, we have this, we have lots of Pokemon that can deal with that thing. Think a little bit.
But, yeah, they're doing quite the number on, putting them around Arcadia, but they're also doing some good damage to Magma as well.
Solar Trinity? Oh, yeah. The thing with being a lower place team, if you want to climb up the ranks, it's best to fight teams that are only a few points above you, because that drags them down lower while raising you up.
Yeah.
For example, if Solar Trinity beat Magma twice, and Snaggum's points didn't change at all, Solar Trinity would jump up to third place from fifth.
Definitely. You can also take risks when you're in the bottom.
That's a battle thing. That's just in Pokemon in general. When you're behind, you want to do riskier things. You want to play it safe. But
no, obviously, but because we're talking about Solar Trinity in general, because they're in last, they can take greater risks. In this case, it looks like it's paying off, and that's fantastic.
With team building experimentation and stuff like that. So, because the thing with Solar Trinity is they do really well when they catch people off guard. Because, like, I remember the first confrontation I can remember against Solar Trinity is a team, I can't remember which team it was, but they had a lot of problems with Altaria.
So, but now Altaria has been moved because of all the tier shifting and stuff.
So yeah, is it OU now?
It's UU now.
Yes.
Which means if they...
Did the STC keep it as UU, though, or did the STC move it to...
Regular Altaria is UU. I don't know about the Megastone, but it might have been moved to OU. I don't really pay much attention to the STC rankings. As soon as they said Gallade and... Lopunny were out of the ranks. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Doesn't affect me because I got Mega Audino, so we're good. And
as long as Mega Audino is still Gruntmon, I'm okay.
I mean, I'm cool. A little disappointed Mega they Altaria move it up to Ubers because they didn't understand just how good Mega Audino is, but that's their mistake. So
but you mentioned Gallade. Turn will come.
You mentioned Gallade, and I don't think anyone can talk about turn 8 without bringing up the red card. A move so unique that it got fan art before the battle was over.
Well, technically the battle was over because I...
No, he... Well, you had left.
I had to go, and I'm sorry. It was it one-odd orange? I'm sorry for leaving. It wasn't a rage quit. I promise you that. I had to go do something. But
yeah, like
you definitely won that battle with the quote unquote, and go ahead and censor me if you want, Dozer, when you're editing this, the f**kle set, which brought back plenty of memories.
I'm going to get a censor beep.
But
I'm going to get a censor beep just for that.
No.
And at the end, I'm just going to be like, censorship.
Yeah.
Censor beep.
This was, no, seriously, that set, I used to run it in Gen 5 online, and it was one of the most annoying sets ever. I think I would have been more angry about it if it wasn't more of like a tiny little nostalgia thing. So shout out to you, One Odd Orange, for using the biggest pain in the ass out there. You get a cookie.
You also didn't combat it that well.
No.
Just gonna say.
No, the set, it's hard to get over anyway. The Shuckle has 553 in both defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, it has maxed out HP, which brings it to like 244.
And not a lot of weaknesses either.
Now, even if I would have hit it with like Metang's like Meteor Mash, it would have still been like a 5-hit KO after leftovers. Yeah.
You would have needed to get really haxy on that Meteor Mash, get a crit, or actually, that's what happened, is Lodart took over the battle, and near the end, he had the Metang, and he actually got a crit with the Meteor Mash, and which means it bypassed all the defense boosts.
Yeah.
And it did like 50-60%, but it was too little too late.
Plus, by then, if it knows it can take that much damage, it's just going to rest it off.
Yeah.
Which is why the set is so annoying.
Mm-hmm. That, and because it's carrying rest, it's like the Slowbro we talked about a little bit ago. It's immune to status, essentially.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Your best bet, because you're not going to get anything going off it from burn or toxic. Yeah, and that's usually how you deal with defensive setup sweepers. You toxic the thing, or you phase it out, yawn it, or whatever. The thing is especially because it's rest tox, so it's not just sitting idly on those turns of sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did the numbers. It would have taken 88 turns for it to PP stall out, because all of its moves that it was packing are like really mostly status based, so they have a lot of PP on them. So
and you can't exactly. And the thing is, with Infestation, it traps you in, so you can't be switching in and out.
Yeah, Infestation's a really nasty move, which I actually liked. I didn't run Infestation on the Gen 5 set. I ran...
Because Infestation wasn't a move.
Exactly.
Yet.
I don't remember exactly... I don't remember exactly what it was, but... Yeah, nice little tweak there.
I love Infestation. My favorite, like, Kafagrigas set was a physically defensive Kafagrigas with, like, Will-O-Wisp and Infestation and Rest.
Infestation is such a cool-looking move, too.
Yeah.
It's so really creepy-looking.
It's like your Pokemon's having bugs crawl all over
it. It's like the, if anyone here has played Bioshock, it's like the B-Arm power-up get.
Oh, gosh.
Ugh. Having some flashbacks there, Dozer.
That's enough nightmares for tonight.
So yeah. Nice job, One Odd Orange. Great match. Yeah. We'll see this again sometime. Talking about Snag'em, we've got some nice little battles from them as well.
Oh gosh, Snag'em's all over this board. A lot of they had five battles this phase, and I think they really saw it coming because they used two defensive actions. Because if they didn't, they'd have to attack, and then they would have had seven battles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way too much.
Way too many.
That is way too many battles to get in a week. Granted, in Season 1 we used to try and do that in a day, but... Excuse me. But what's really interesting here is, first off, is... I think we have the first successful chain of Season 2 coming from Magma against Snag'em.
Mm-hmm.
They win in Pallet Town over a defensive action from Snag'em and take that one 4-1 with two grunt wins and the admin win.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then allowing them to successfully chain to Cinnabar Island, where they take it in the leader battle.
Which was an amazing leader battle, if you guys haven't seen
it. Oh, it was fantastic.
Starting out with the number one hitter, I mean, Venusaur.
Mega Venusaur. Mega
Venusaur is a beast, and giving it thick fat and giving it that fire protection is like giving a tank all the ammunition it needs to become Ultra Mega Tank Go.
And it hits so much that Snaggin brought to the table.
Exactly.
Because I was watching the replay, and I saw even A. Kelly said in the chat, I have nothing for this Mega Venusaur. the best thing that there was to hit it with was an Earthquake off the Landorus Therian form.
Mm-hmm.
Which does a lot of damage, but the thing is, Max, he saw that coming, and he just switched out.
It's a Talonflame, wasn't it?
No, he switched out into his own Landorus, get the Intimidate on the opposing Landorus. It was a Choice Landorus. Yeah, so it was locked into
too
Earthquake.
Too much Landorus
against...
to handle.
So it forced the switch, and then Maxie could just U-turn back into Mega Venusaur, which took out pretty much most of A. Kelly's team, because it was packing the HP Fire to deal with the Mega Scizor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, oh my gosh, that was glorious. Mega Venusaur too strong.
Mega Venusaur is a fantastic Pokemon, though.
Look, you know when you make an Ego Raptor reference, you're going to have a winning member right there.
You know,
like,
think...
all the great thing about Mega Venusaur, though, is like all it needed to do to become super strong, it didn't need to get like claws. It didn't need to suddenly change its color. It didn't need to get a million cannons. All it needed to do was grow a flower on its butt.
And get about 200 pounds heavier.
And grow a palm tree.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And a flower on its forehead.
On its forehead.
It became beautiful in a fat sort of way.
In a fat sort of way.
Fat is beauty. Learn it, live it, love it. Roll the fluffy. Power! Fat power! Anyway.
I don't think the...
Snorlax for Ubers.
Oh man, if they gave Mega Snorlax the right stuff though, it could be great.
Well, he already has
a We will save a Mega Snorlax discussion for a new Mega special.
That's
because
true.
I have all the answers, and it's not what you're expecting.
Yeah, but you weren't supposed to research that, Dozer. It was Gen 5. You slip it up, kid.
I figure if we did a Gen 6 and we're planning a Gen 5, we're going to get to Gen 1 eventually.
Oh, what are we going to name from Gen 1? We're going to say Snorlax. We're going to say Dragonite.
I think they're definitely Pokemon from... No,
you can get things like Weezing and Grommok and Ekans. There's a lot
Mega
of things.
Ekans.
There's one that could get...
the thing Mega about Ekans. Gen 1 is that it was created before a lot of the, like, changes came to Pokemon, including Megas and including the splits and including move tutors and all that kind of stuff. So there's, even though they've done their best to kind of keep the Gen 1 Pokemon up to date, they still kind of fall behind in a lot of areas.
Yeah,
and so
if you look at the best Gen 1 Megas, the just best Gen 1 Pokemon tend to be the one with Megas.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, that's a little off topic.
Yeah.
All right. So the last
But one thing that I really like that I see, though, in Turn 8 is we're seeing that every team is winning against each other now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something, like, earlier in the season, things, for in some instances against some matchups, were looking a little single-sided. And it was in Turn 7 that we had the first Snaggum versus Arcadia matchup. Snaggum won. Turn 8, we had Narcerine City where Arcadia won against Snaggum. We're starting to see more back and forth, which is what you begin to see in the mid-season.
Mm-hmm. And I think the type trade had a lot to do with that, too.
The type trade and the new Megas
Exactly. And it gave teams that didn't have certain things kind of fresh blood. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to see how just a small bit of mega change and how a little bit of type changes can really help some teams and allow them to shine in ways that they weren't necessarily before.
Mm-hmm. It makes things a lot more interesting.
Yeah, it does.
Because now it's just things could go either way. And I love how this season's starting to turn out, because this is around the time where in season one everyone started to get really stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
This is when Cypher quit. Just
yeah. Mm-hmm. How long did Cypher last? Was it even a week?
It was eight phases.
So 8 days. 8 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait.
So a week and a half.
I think by then it had been that they were moving.
Oh,
it.
Did we move to the 2 day?
Yeah.
Season one was weird. That's all we need to know.
Season one was me on my computer with a side of Dr. Pepper and a bottle of ibuprofen. Just trying to get through it.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So, do you wanna do a little overview of what might be happening in Phase 9? Because two teams have posted their actions as of now.
Oh, so we have two teams, so we get a little sneak peek into next week.
Yeah. So
Arcadia is already
Arcadia's in the tracker, but Magma also posted theirs. So we see with Arcadia, they're going for Strident City against Snag'em. Trying to take back Tilt Village against Snag'em as well, mm-hmm. Which could really...
They really want to keep...
Oblivia.
What is it?
Yeah.
Oblivia.
Really trying to push their
way
out.
The thing is, if Arcadia can win that Snag'em battle in Tilt Village, that puts Snag'em back at square one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to spend 4 tokens to try and cross back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to be harsh on them. And then finally we have a Shaler City battle between Arcadia and Dimsung. So nothing too big. Mm-hmm. And then we move into the Magma actions.
Some pretty predictable.
Yeah. And the Magma, they are attacking Arcadia in Ecruteak City in North Johto. Mm-hmm. They're going to be fighting Dimsung, and on that chaining victory from last phase, they're chaining Eterna into Floraroma Town. So
Magma, Queenie, you were talking about when you're falling behind, making risky moves.
Yeah.
I think chaining is the epitome of risky plays in Turf Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially...
Because you're basically... It's kind of like a pseudo-highway battle where you're throwing 4 tokens on one location.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you lose that location, all 4 of your tokens are used.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we see our first Magma versus Arcadia battle in a long time.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
It'll be good.
Which, with the new Pokemon, the new typings, the new Megas, that's going to be really fun to see.
Guys, we should...
Honestly, I'm excited for it just because I really like Team Magma a lot.
I do like Magma.
And I like hanging out with them, and I like the people for the most part. And so I'm just excited to finally, be going at it with Magma again.
Mm-hmm. Overall, though, I like every team.
Yeah, that's true.
There isn't a team I don't like. There's some I like more than others.
Yeah.
Solar Trinity.
But, all the teams are really good, and I think we've calmed, I think finally Turf Wars has found its stride. And I'm very happy to see that it's finally found its stride, especially after some of the messiness that happened in the first season, which... Honestly, it was the first season, and it was a test season, so it was to be expected. But now, in turn, what are we, going into turn 9?
Yeah.
Barring Showdown being an absolute, and you can also believe me here, I feel like we finally kind of hit the stride of where Turf Wars wanted to be, and where it's finally at a place where we can say, these are the rules, this is the flow. And if anyone comes in now, everything's set, and there's less kind of outer team squabbling, or at least it feels like there's less outer team squabbling. Mm-hmm. There's still obviously there's going to be inner team kind of conversations where you're trying to figure out where you're going to attack, who you're going to attack, how you're going to attack them, and that's always going to cause a few little, everybody's going to have a bunch of different ideas, but it feels like we're kind of at a place where at least with battles, it's a lot smoother and it's a lot nicer. And if anyone wanted to come in now, they would have less of an issue trying to get kind of started in that regard. And it's nice. It's nice to see.
That and the mod chat and the mods, they're always trying to make things flow as smoothly as possible, which is one reason why I believe they implemented that tardiness rule.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have 15 minutes, if there's members online, you have 15 minutes to get a grunt going, or if you had scheduled to be there, I think it is, you have 15 minutes before you start giving up automatic losses.
Yeah, I believe it's like 15 minutes once the grunt of the opposing team is announced.
Or if, you know, there's another thing too, it's a reasonable amount of time as well.
Yeah.
But no, I think the tardiness rule just is going to help a lot, because we're not going to have battles being stalled out by a lot. Because even 15 minutes is a lot of time when you're considering four battles. The average battle can take anywhere from a few minutes to, I think the longest I've seen is 10, 20
yeah.
minutes. Like when you get into those really long where it's basically a struggle battle.
Basically. You know, as long as someone's not like time stalling in the battle, which does happen and is pretty...
I haven't seen it since, one incident on season
one. Yeah, I haven't seen it since season one. There was a bad one in season one. We won't talk about that. But no, getting back to, because we were talking about Altaria. Yeah, Gallade, Lopunny, Altaria, and Diancie's Mega Evolutions have all been banned to OU. But some key ones that are being tested right now, we already know about the shark, but also Mega Sceptile and Dragalge are being looked at.
Mm-hmm. Dragalge, I could make sense because now it has access to that strong adaptability ability.
Yeah, but...
Well, that's a redundant statement.
I mean, I can understand where they're coming from with Dragalge. It's a very strong Pokemon in a very low tier, I believe, too. Isn't it like in...
It's RU.
It's RU now? Oh, yeah, that's right. It got bumped up.
It went up to RU.
I'm so used to it being an MU.
Yep. It got, I think it was PU even for a little bit. Maybe? I'm not sure.
I don't know. But it's got really nice special defenses.
It's got really nice special defense. It works well with an assault vest with adaptability. It's got a really hard-hitting Draco Meteor. A Sludge Bomb Sludge Wave is going to hit hard as well.
And it has access to like Hydro Pump and
Scald.
It's a good Pokemon.
It's great Pokemon.
It's what happens as soon as you give a Pokemon like access to adaptability, everything changes.
Beedrill.
Every adaptability and everything changes.
Beedrill, who jumped up from NU to UU because its Mega Form got adaptability, but
exactly.
Adaptability is a really good ability.
And really, what are the threats for Dragalge that you're going to be running into? You're going to have Dragon type moves, you're going to have Psychic type moves, and Ground type, and Ice type. Yep.
Ice type.
We'll take.
But it's one of the few dragons that doesn't have that 4x ice weakness. And with most ice attacks being special in its high special bulk.
Same thing with Psychic.
Exactly. Though Psychic does have more physical moves like Psy Shock. It's a pretty standard one. But
still, the 90 defense is nothing to just look at and be like, I can take it down.
It's not. I actually ended up winning a battle because of its... like somewhat decent defense, and someone just and it was in randoms, I'll admit it was in randoms, but someone completely underestimated how much defense it would have, and that's what won me the battle.
Yeah.
And as people, because right now a lot of the people who've, you know, have not damage counts memorized but are used to how much damage certain Pokemon do against certain sets, giving it adaptability throws that off.
Exactly. I mean,
and what was its ability beforehand?
It had Poison Point and Poison Touch, which both are interesting moves, but...
It didn't complement Dragalge's moveset.
No.
Like, it has really nothing that hits physically to take advantage of Poison Touch.
It had Aqua Tail, Dragon Tail, and Gunk Shot, but I don't even know if Gunk Shot makes contact. I don't even think it does.
I don't think it does. It doesn't.
But no, now that it has adaptability, you can throw Thunderbolt, you've got Sludge Wave, you've got Shadow Ball, Hydro
Pump.
So
much coverage.
So much coverage with this thing. Draco Meteor, Dragon Pulse, even if you really want to, you can make this thing a setup with Toxic Spikes, which I really like. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Who would have thought that one simple... ability change could make
the world of difference.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I can see where they're looking at doing that. Is there? It was Dragalge, Mega Shark, and what else was it that they were watching? Which once again makes sense with the new immunity with Lightning Rod and pretty decent speed and special attack.
Yeah, it's a nice sweeper there.
The only issue is the 4 times weakness to a very, very common ice ice type.
Yeah.
Because I think ice has the most 4 times weaknesses of all types, really, which is why it's such a popular coverage move.
Mm-hmm. And right now, Sceptile's standing in RU, and that's one reason why I believe it's under investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But
we digress.
Well, yeah.
Should we get into going an overall through each team, how they are standing at this point, at the end of Phase 8?
I guess so. Why not?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So let's start off with a quick look at Arcadia, who I have all these stats and notes right now. They're sitting in first place with a 77% battle win ratio, which is one of the highest. They're also sitting there with 49 victory points and 38 locations with 11 bonus points. Still showing a strong presence in Turf Wars, I have noted down, but other teams have shown they're not unbeatable, especially with those recent highway losses, which is not looking too good for Arcadia, considering that they have the most highways of all teams, and they have not so much good record on highway battles.
Battle wins is 69.
Of course you thought of that.
In second place.
I'm just going to sit here and like shake my head.
Second place, we got Magma.
No, Dim Sun's in second place.
Oh, they are? Oh, yes, yeah. They are.
Look at my notes.
I don't care about notes.
Dim Sun are at second place with a roughly 43% battle win ratio, which is the second lowest. But they are still sitting in second place with 33 victory points, 26 territories, and 7 bonus victory points. And one thing that I think is interesting, because in the battle tracker we now have all these battle win rate percentages and all this stuff, Dim Sun, I think they have the lowest amount of battles in Season 2.
Yeah, they have a total of 62 battles so far, which Arcadia has 89, Magma has a total of 121, Snag'em has 88, and Solar Trinity has 100 even.
So most teams are getting really close to that 100, and Dim Sun having half of the highest amount. Not being very active in battles, but I think that's because they spent a lot of their time in the early phases not attacking anyone, just focusing on taking neutral territories and holding them. Because
actually, they were one of the first attackers.
Were they for the first?
Yeah,
to attack,
they attacked
or were they
Solar
first
Trinity
to be
turn one for Jubilife City.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
In fact, they've been in a battle every phase except for Phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I'm looking here. But they didn't have a lot in the early game. We didn't start seeing a lot. Like, they have 2 and 5, 2 and 6. They have. Then they really jumped up and had 5 and 7. And then they only had 2 and 8. But right now they have 3 in the upcoming turn 9. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's now. I think a lot of it was. Dim Sun was a very strong team in Season 1, and there weren't a lot of teams that wanted to go and just start messing with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like I say, they have the lowest amount of battles. They're a really strong... they have a strong core of battlers, and they're sitting really comfortably in second place, being ahead of Magma by 13 points and behind Arcadia by only 16. So they have about the same amount of gap both ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Magma's sitting at third place. And Magma's numbers are really interesting to look at because of all their battles. While they're in third place, they have the second highest battle win rate at 59%. They have 20 victory points with 20 locations and 0 bonus victory points. And they actually now have the highest number of battle wins of all teams at 71.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have the highest number of losses
ST.
At 50.
ST has 59.
Oh, wait, yeah. Okay, second highest. It's right here in my notes too, Dozer. Read. You're an English major. Read. Mm-hmm. And they have the highest number of battles overall, being the first team to get over 100. So, congrats! You fight a lot.
Woo, 121.
And you're good at it. Woo, 121! And, oh gosh, most battle wins of all team. That's pretty impressive, actually. And then we got Snag'em in fourth place. They're sitting there with about a 51.14% battle win rate. I like how I say about when it's the exact number.
Mm-hmm.
They got 17 victory points with 16 locations and one bonus victory point. And what's really interesting to me is a lot of their stat distributions, with their like win percentages, their offensive percentages, and all that stuff. It's hovering in the 50% range.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're the third highest, so they're in for battle percentage, and they're really close to like third place. So it's kind of like they're in the dead center, statistically across the board.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting, as in numbers. Actually, I hate numbers, but I love statistics. Get that across your head. That makes no sense. Hate numbers, but love statistics. They're the same thing, Dozer. Not in my world.
Dozer's world of statistics involves pie graphs that aren't labeled at all. So they don't have
numbers.
They
are labeled. Okay, my pie graphs are not labeled, and they're made of actual pie.
So do you, like, cut the pie and then, like, put different flavors of pie?
Yep.
Dude, that sounds delicious.
It is.
75% anyway. Of this is blueberry, while only 10% is cherry. 10 out of 10 would stat again.
How to make statistics fun: involve actual pie or pizza. Pizza works too.
It's type pie.
And we have Solar Trinity in fifth place with a 41% battle win ratio, 16 victory points with 12 locations and 4 bonus victory points.
But look at that offensive percentage.
I know.
83%.
They're an aggressive bunch of buggers, aren't they? They have the second highest amount of battles with 100 exactly, and the highest percentage of offensive actions with 83%, with 20 of their moves being attacking, while they've only been attacked 4 times.
Yeah, it's...
Mm-hmm.
So they're just... They don't like giving up. And even though they're in the last place, they're not there by much, as we... They're not there by much, as we said
earlier.
Yeah.
Thank you, Queen.
They're only 1 point behind Snag'em, and who knows, those two spots could be flipping around in the next phase or two. Mm-hmm.
The bottom three slots are so close, they can jump around every single turn, really.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, last words, Solar Trinity, they're fun to fight. They're really aggressive, they're tenacious, they're Dozer and Moonshine approved. I'm really tempted to insert a cricket chirping sound effect
we just,
there.
Do it, man.
We just all stay quiet. Your life. Queenie gives the pity
sympathy
laugh.
Sympathy laugh.
I mean, right now, you look at what they've got. They've got an entire section of West Johto that they'll start getting points off of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, as long as they're not attacked there, they should be fine. And they've got part of South Central Hoenn.
Mm-hmm.
They have their corner of the world, and they're just digging in their heels and not saying die.
Yeah.
And you gotta do more than appreciate. You gotta respect that tenacity and that aggressiveness, because, like we said, they have the highest offensive percentage rate, and it's by a large margin, with the second being Dim Sun at 66.67.
Yeah.
And the lowest being Arcadia with 23, because we're a bunch of pansies that don't like to fight, because our leaders are both Canadian. You gotta find that at least
long
entertaining.
Long live Canada.
The team led by Canadians has the lowest percentage of offensive movements.
Listen, that's fine. It's yeah, fine. It's, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. There's a hockey game on.
The Canucks? Canucks? I'm pronouncing that wrong. I'm playing. No, I don't know your hockey teams.
Just be quiet, Queenie. Just,
Maple Leafs? The Maple Leafs.
No, they suck.
I know the Jets. That's about it.
I know the Penguins just because everyone around here loves them.
Well, you're... Yeah.
So, Phase 9 predictions. Who's going to do what?
Everything go cray. Yeah. My prediction is everything go cray and everything...
I quit. That's my prediction every phase. I quit.
Honestly, I would not be surprised to see the Tilt Village battle go Snagum's way. Just because I have my Doom sensor. First off, that'd be really fun to see. Cause
mine is a little less pessimistic, but also just as pessimistic. I'm gonna say that Arcadia will get it back, but they'll lose the battle against Magma.
Fair play.
Because yeah. My whole thing is like Arcadia's. I was on Aqua, and I remember the big part of Aqua when we were Aqua was that we always came back swinging. Like there were a few points and a few times where we had times when we were down and we were thinking this is it, or you know someone's gonna creep up on us, and we always came back swinging. But I also realized that in that kind of rah-rah, let's round up the troops, something sometimes fell by the wayside. And so my belief is that they will come back swinging, win that back, but they will lose another battle because of it.
Yeah, but...
Take it from someone, though, who had to deal with a lot of Snagum battles in Season 1. They're never... It's always going both ways.
Yeah.
And one reason... I don't think it's so much I predict Snagum's going to win. I think it's relatively likely. I think it's about an even chance of going either way. I think I kind of call me a traitor, but I kind of want them to, just because if Arcadia knocks them out of Tilt Village right away, it's just going to feel anticlimactic. I want a good story going on. I want the fight. I want to see the struggle. I want this to be entertaining to sit back and watch, because I don't really battle that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to pop a bowl of popcorn and see the big wars between Arcadia and Snagum as they just struggle for control in Oblivia. When Dim Sun is, like, the third party, I want to see that three-way confrontation just become a big massacre. Because I'm a horrible person. And right now I'm hoping my team loses. I just realized that.
You heard it here first.
I'm not biased.
Gozer wants a three-way confrontation.
He wants it from every single angle.
Angle.
He just wants that confrontation all over him.
I feel and like he this wants, is turning into an innuendo.
And he wants a massacre. Are they related? I don't know.
I'm gonna cut this.
No, you're not.
No.
No, I'm not.
You're not the one editing it anyway.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, damn it.
All right, thanks for tuning in to the Phase 8 and kind of 7 review. Basically, yeah. I'm Syracuse.
Good luck to all teams. Good luck to all teams, and I'm Queenie.
And I'm Dozer, and good luck, and have fun.
And come back next week when we give even more information on how to beat Arcadia. Have fun, folks.
Bye.